Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're told in these verses that there are two essential elements. Two essential elements to conversion on the part of man. Two essential elements are these, that you must believe and you must confess. You must believe and you must state that you believe. You're to believe with your heart. And you might say, why? Why are you to believe with your heart? Surely believing is an intellectual thing. Surely you should believe in your mind. With your mind you should perceive what the Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's true, and you should assent to that. Why does the Bible say that you're to believe in your heart? Well, there are many people who know and yet who resist. They understand with the mind and yet they refuse to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be something cold about the intellect. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees, they recognized who Jesus was, but they would not have him. Whereas the heart is the core of the being. It's not simply an intellectual understanding. It speaks about emotion and will and desire and assent. Can you imagine a young man who would say to a young woman, intellectually, I understand you are the most beautiful woman in the world. That's not going to carry on very far, is it? With my mind, I recognize that you are beautiful. There's a subtle qualification, there's a reservation in that, isn't there? He's holding back from expressing the desire and the delight of his heart. That's what the young woman wants to hear. You must believe with your heart that the Lord Jesus. Believe with your heart all that's revealed in the scriptures about the Lord Jesus. And you are to confess with your mouth. And that's what I want us to focus on today, is the confessing with your mouth. And first of all, I want you to recognize there is a duty in confession. You're instructed here. You are to confess with your mouth. This is an outward expression of what is believed in the heart. You see, it's not enough simply to believe in your heart. But that must be expressed. You might say, well, expressed where and expressed before whom? Who are you to tell? Well, first of all, there's an expression before God himself. There's an expression before man in general. And there's an expression before the church in particular. You're to express to God, and you're to express before men that you believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done and the significance of what he has done. Now, it's true that sometimes that public profession, that expression before men, it has to be limited. Remember the great persecution that went on in the Soviet Union behind the Iron Curtain. There's persecution that goes on today in North Korea. And it's unwise, it's foolish to declare and to shout walking down the street that someone believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet there's still a confession. There's a confession before God, and there's also a confession before the church. Because believers do not exist in isolation, but still gather together. And as they gather together, they speak to one another of the Lord Jesus Christ, of their knowledge of Him, and of their love for Him. So yes, it's true, you're not to cast your pearls before swine. Yes, it's true, you're to be wise in what you say and to whom you say it. But if you will be a Christian, friend, you must confess your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this isn't simply using words. We're warned, and you know this very well, we're warned by the Lord that on the final day there will be some who will appear before Him, and with a degree of confidence will say, "Lord, Lord, we did this in Your name. Lord, Lord, we said that. Lord, Lord." And they're speaking about their great words. And they're speaking about their great works. And the Lord will say, "Depart from me, I didn't know you." There was no integrity in these words. There was no consistency in these works. There was no love for me in your heart. There was no dependence upon my saving work. So it's not mere words. Anyone could claim to be a Christian. Anyone could say that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not enough just to have these words, but yet there must be these words. There must be these words. These words alone will not get you to heaven. But an absence of these words, a refusal to acknowledge Jesus Christ and to declare your love for Him, you're to confess. There's a duty in confession. And confessing the Lord Jesus Christ takes many forms. There is saying, "I love the Lord." But there is also when you sing His praise. Every time you use these psalms, you should be confessing your dependence and your love, your satisfaction with the wisdom of God. You should use these psalms wisely, carefully. You should allow the psalms to express what is in your heart. There's a confessing of the Lord Jesus Christ which takes place in participating in the sacraments provided by the Lord Himself for His church, and sitting at the Lord's table, and stretching forth your hand, and taking the bread, which speaks of His body broken for you, of receiving the cup, which contains the wine, which represents His blood, which was shed for you. That is a confessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is your duty to confess Him if you love Him with your heart. There is also living consistently. Living a life that will harmonize with what you claim, to be under the rule of God, to be no longer bound by the fear of man and striving for all the things that this world promises. You have a duty to confess Him with your lips, to confess Him with your life, to confess Him within the congregation, to confess Him within your home, and to confess Him before men. If you ever meet somebody who's on a special diet, you quickly find out they're on a special diet because that person will have to say, "I'm sorry, I can't eat that. I'm sorry, I can't tolerate this." I can't enjoy that. You see, I have to live according to this particular rule because this particular rule keeps me healthy. And that's how you should be, Christian. There are certain things that you cannot safely tolerate. You will not be healthy, you will not be happy if you participate in certain things, and so you need to hold back. For the glory of God. You have a duty in confession, and the act of making confession before the church, for the world at large, before God Himself, that duty, it is a test of your discipleship. Because it's not an easy thing to do. And you know that people will be watching. And people will be questioning. Can it really be that our friend, who used to be just like us, is now so different that he identifies with the people of God? You see, it's a test of your discipleship. Because it is difficult to do, it's not something you can do unless you really mean it. It forces you to think through your position. It forces you to take a stand. It's an evidence of that inner faith. You say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but are you willing to say that and to live that? Is it simply in your mind, your intellectual understanding that this Bible must be true, or is it in your heart? Is it taking possession of you? Because if it's taken possession of you, you will be enabled to so confess. That's one of the reasons why it's your duty. It's to help you see yourself. That you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't confess Him, Well, why can't you confess it? It's not because you don't understand, but why would it be that you couldn't confess it? Do you not feel the weight of the instruction here? Do you not hear Him calling you to stand up and to be counted, to make known that you love Him? Or is it because you're held back? Yes, you would like to think of yourself as saved. And you like to think of yourself as someone who lives according to truth and to righteousness. You would like to think of the promise of eternal life and of glory in the presence of the Lord. There are certain things still consume your heart now. Is that what it is? It's a sort of, there's a double-mindedness. You're trying to hold two positions. Is that what holds you back from confessing Him? Do you know that silence is an answer? And you have a duty to confess the Lord. And the person who doesn't confess their love for the Lord Jesus Christ is saying something. That's also a confession. It's not a middle ground. You have a duty to confess for your own good. But it's also to advance the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine that? The glory of God, the praise of God is advanced when you confess your faith and your love of the Lord Jesus. I say, but I'm such a poor example. I'm not a strong witness. Don't look to me. I struggle to get anything right. I cannot do that. I'm scared to do it in case I bring shame upon his name. You see, it's better for me to stay back. It's better for me to stay silent and let people think what they want, but at least I won't bring shame upon the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't say, well, look at that Christian. But are you willing for people to think that you don't love him? That he's not worthy of your love? Are you willing for people to think that the church is just declining and reducing and will be gone? And there will be no one who will sing his praise? Who will call upon his name? You see, the duty to confess is to advance his glory so that even the unbelieving world will see that the Lord is here in our midst and he is building his church. And the wonder of his grace is that he's building his church with such poor material, we might say. Bringing broken men and broken women with all their broken baggage. And yet the Lord is building his church. You see, you have a duty to confess because it's good for you. And you have a duty to confess because it's to the glory of God. You have a duty to confess because it also, it encourages the church. It encourages your brethren. You feel the awkwardness of making a confession. You feel the loneliness of making a confession. But do you not see the awkward loneliness of those who already make confession? And how strengthened and encouraged they would be to see you with them, identifying with them, standing on the Lord's side, singing the Lord's song with a confidence. Maybe you would confess him if you felt you could narrate a great story, tell of a great change. And you don't feel that you have a great story to tell. There's no great change that is evident, not for a very long time. But the question isn't about your ability to narrate a story. It's about whether you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Whether you have the satisfaction and delight in him. You have a duty in confession. But secondly, I want you to know there is a delight in making confession. There is a delight in making confession. Because in confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, the poor, struggling, vulnerable, isolated, lonely, fearful Christian has the great privilege and the joy and the satisfaction of being able to declare their allegiance. To be known as being his. To be received as being His, to be received by your Christian brethren. But not only that, but to be received by the Lord Himself. Isn't He ready to receive all who will come to Him? Yes, He is. Doesn't He commit Himself to all that come to Him? Believing with their hearts and confessing with their lips? Yes, He does. You see, there's two sides to this. There's your responsibility, but there's a large response. And that's why there's a delight in making confession. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." He says, it's not me, it's the Lord's given me a burning heart. And because of my burning heart, I have to do it. And if I can't, and if I won't preach, then I'm in a mess. Because I have this burning heart, it has to be expressed. And that's where the Christian is. The Christian who truly believes has a burning heart, and woe is me if I do not confess Him. Woe is me if I stand amongst those that refuse Him. You see, there's a delight because there is a satisfaction. Because there is a burning heart that must be expressed. I have a friend who was adopted. He was old enough when he was taken by his adoptive parents to remember something of his life from before. But he was young enough not to really understand and to remember it terribly well. And as he grew up, he had this burning desire to understand who he was and where he'd come from. He had a fear to explore it. And yet he was compelled to explore it. Because he had to know who he was. You see, the Christian has to know who they are. And there is a delight in expressing your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gracious echo of our Lord, "I am His, He is mine." That's the refrain you find in the Song of Solomon, isn't it? "I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine." You know, you struggle with a lack of assurance, maybe. And it's that lack of comfortable confidence that holds you back. Would you not see that that comfortable confidence, as you see it, that in large measure that will come as you confess Him in obedience to His command, for in being received by the Lord Himself, and in being received by the people of the Lord, it will help you. It will help you in these questions. It will confirm to you. And there's a light too in making confession, because in making confession, things become more clear. If you ever go to a counsellor, a good counsellor isn't somebody who tells you the answers. A good counsellor is somebody who helps by asking you the questions. And in answering these questions, certain things which have been in a great tangle in your mind become more clear. and things straighten out and you see how things are. And in making confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly as we use his word to help us make confession, when we sing the Psalms to confess our love for him, it straightens out our thinking and it instructs us. The Psalms instruct you. They don't just simply express what you think you believe, but they tell you what you are to believe. There's a delight in making confession. There's a delight in being able to express something which is true and which is good and which is pure and which is beautiful. You have a duty in confession, and there's a delight in confession. Thirdly, finally, there's a defiance in making confession. There's a defiance in making confession. There's a defiance in making confession because in doing so, you're able to speak in the face of a hostile world and to declare that there's beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though everyone seems to mock and to scoff and go on their way, and though everyone seems to make out that they have it all, it's wonderful to be able to defy that whole package of lies. And now you know that's what it is. You know the world out there and all the greatness and power and wealth. And you're not superficial. You know that behind these smiles there's broken people and broken homes. You know there's a deep and enduring disappointment, there's a dismay, there's a darkness. And rather than perpetuate that, you're able to speak against it. There's a wonderful defiance in confession to puncture and to dispel. The lies of the world, and to speak of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonder of his grace and the liberty there is no longer living a lie and pretending or always striving after something that will never satisfy. It's a defiance in confession. I spoke about believers who were persecuted in the Soviet Union, believers who were persecuted in North Korea, believers who were persecuted in many other nations also. Isn't it wonderful to see the defiance of their confession? As they speak in whispers in a corner one to another and say, "The Lord has had mercy upon me, how I love the Lord." But all the military might of that system, all the political power, cannot extinguish the reality of grace. You know, the world doesn't really mind the ecclesiastical structures of the church. And the world doesn't really mind that there might be a few private believers here or there. But when the Christian church will confess its faith in Jesus Christ in defiance . When the Christian church will sing the glory of God in defiance of the darkness of this world, that's what provokes a response. That's what the unbelieving world hates. There's a defiance in confession. And there's a defiance which flies in the face of the devil himself. The devil who will come and will accuse you and will bring to your mind what you've done and what you've said and where you've been and what you were about and what you've wasted and what you didn't do, and who will accuse you and trouble you, will torment you, will haunt you, and yet you are able to defy the accuser of your soul by saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ who died for sinners." You can defy him by saying, "And yes, and I was worse than that, and yet the Lord has received me and washed me clean. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and so I rejoice." There's a duty in confession. There's a delight in confession. And there's a defiance. A defiance which stirs the souls of other believers. I mean, that's what you find when you read accounts of those who suffered for their faith, isn't it? You read the accounts of the martyrs of our own land who stood against the intrusion of the government, who stood against the king who sought to dominate over their souls, and who went to die, and did so speaking confidently of the Lord Jesus and singing psalms of praise. And when we read of their faith, we're stirred because we see the defiance. And it encourages you to press on, doesn't it? To follow them in their example. It's a defiance in confession, which will even defy your own feelings. Because sometimes you just don't feel worthy. And sometimes you just don't feel able. And yet, the Christian is able to defy even their own dark days by confessing their love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in confessing your love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will settle your own troubled heart. You will calm your own confused mind. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These two belong together. To believe with the heart, and to confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But just as we conclude, what if you, if you cannot make confession, if you cannot confess him, if you cannot with integrity, it's in your heart, not in your heart, not with your mouth, you cannot confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take just a moment to consider how you stand before God. Take a moment to consider what it is that you truly have. And when you see that you have nothing of worth, you have nothing of eternal value, when you see your shame, and you recognize you have guilt before God, will you not come and seek him You understand something with your mind, and yet your heart seems so hard. Your heart seems so resistant. Will you not come and call upon God and ask Him for a new heart, for a tenderness? Ask Him to dispel this fear of man which holds you back. This vulnerability that you have because of what they might say. You're so preoccupied sometimes, aren't you? All you can see is the cost. Ask Him to give you a new heart that you might believe with your heart, and believing with your heart, you might then confess with your lips. Because, friends, you need to know this, that God is great in mercy, and God is able to give you a new heart, to so change you, to set you free from your bondage. A new heart which will be ruled by the fear of God. It's not a fear that leaves you cowering in terror, but it's a fear which is an awe to marvel at His greatness and to bow and to surrender before Him and to follow Him in His leading. Seek that new heart, which God alone can give you. And it's not a case of just simply understanding more. You will never understand enough to change your heart. There needs to be a supernatural, there needs to be a spiritual change, which I cannot bring about and you cannot bring about, that God can bring about. And there's a number of responses to that. One is to say, I don't want it. But why would you say that? Another is to say, well, I'll wait and see if it happens. As if it was something of no great account. Or as if God wasn't rich in mercy and ready to receive those who come to Him and ready to transform those who seek Him. To act with indifference as if God Himself was indifferent. So you can defy Him. Or you can just play for time. Or you can seek Him and call upon Him and cry out day and night. Give Him no rest. His ear is open. He's inclined to hear your cries. He bids you to come. The Scriptures are full of the gracious promises of God, who is seeking men to seek Him. Lord, give me that heart that I might confess. Because if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Amen. Let's pray.